What's up, Soul Warriors? Welcome to this Saturday night Soul Session Live with me, Reverend LC, and we've got a great guest for you tonight. We're going to do things just a little bit different. We're going to actually witness and see this amazing documentary that is truly done about our guest tonight and his life. So we're going to watch that first, then we're going to bring him on after that, and we're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about whatever the spirit leads us to speak about. You know, that's the way we like to do things here on Recovery Soul Food. And, you know, we have no choice but to talk about recovery, inner healing, pain to purpose, and, you know, whatever else comes up and comes out. You know, so we welcome your comments, we welcome your questions, we welcome you wherever you are and whenever you will watch this broadcast. I am super honored to have my newest good friend, Jason Rudin, who is the co-host of the Way Out podcast, Recovery Revolution Live, and he does just so much. And so tonight's documentary, Across the Tracks, was done about him, and I think about 3 years ago, and I watched it last night, and I just loved it. Just gives you even more insight into Jason and who he is, and it also lets us see other people in his life and just more about his life, and I love that. So I'm so grateful you're here. Thank you so much for being here. Go ahead and do the things we do. Like, subscribe, share out all the cool things that we do to help each other's message grow. I'm so grateful. And while you're doing your stuff and buying your holiday gifts this year, don't forget to pick up Pamela Topchian's book, I Didn't Come This Far to Only Come This Far. It will go great with all of the inspiration that you have in your life. This is an amazing story, an amazing woman. She is my soul sister, and I'm so grateful and honored to know her. So pick up this book, I Didn't Come This Far to Only Come This Far, by Pamela Topchian. I'm also reading Working in Partnership with God by Lou Myers. I love this book. This is also a great little book. It really lets you into a different side of things. And no, this is not a book about addiction or recovery. It's a little bit about inner healing, but mostly it's about true finding your true heart-based purpose. And it takes you along Lou's story and just really gives you some great insight. So pick that up too on Amazon.com/ Lou Myers. And y'all, I'm super ready to get into this with Jason Rudin tonight. So if you guys are ready, you know we're ready. So let's go.
Every day, a little bit of spray. Grab her some mustard greens, man. My roommate got me a pet for my son. I was like, man, now I got to spend more money on something. But she grew on me. She's awesome. She's a sweetie. She's pretty friendly. And lazy. She needs greens. Gonna give her a green thing every day. But they say that reptiles like that, they grow to their environment or their habitat. So, like, bigger, better, she can grow more. Man, she's set.
Jason's very honest. He's very sensitive person. He can be emotional. But he's a strong, stand-up person. He'll tell you the way it is. He was a stinker, but he was good. He was just so very cute and so very lovable. Sometimes he was a little rebellious. Can you imagine that?
Used to climb that huge tree, and I'd get way up in the top. Freaked my mom out. She'd be like, ah, don't go up there.
People connected with him. People connect with him very easy. They always have.
I don't know. I just always connected with the broken people that had hard lives, you know, too. So we could relate to one another.
He'd go across the train tracks and against my wishes.
Come walking back this way and take the tracks down to the park because the trailer park's right over there. Yeah, we used to sit up here and throw apples at these trailers, the aluminum ones. So you'd like whip them. It'd be like, bong! And then you'd be like hiding behind this thing like this. You'd get down, look peeking at them, watching them get all pissed off. It was pretty fun. That was one of the funner things to do around here. Literally would spend all my time in the trailer park and just hang out at my friend Charlie's house. His mom let us smoke weed and drink beers over there and stuff. So it was kind of like a safe haven. I was dating a girl. We used to steal her mom's weed out of her bedroom. This trailer park had a lot of access, a lot of connections. I met a lot of people that I could get stuff from. It all played its part in what would eventually just turn into a really self-destructive lifestyle. I think really what the clincher was, you know, when I left my high school sweetheart and my kids, you know. Like, I just didn't want to feel, didn't really care if I lived or died, so I just kept getting high.
Often people see addiction from the outside and see the symptoms, the behaviors, and think, how could somebody act like that? It hijacks your brain.
I mean, I could take you more and more and more places where I've lived, and it's always, always tracks, dude, right? Like, every time. This house was one of those periods of my life where I went straight into despair. I think I was doing at least 2 or 3 grams like a day. And I knew I was really seriously contemplating suicide. Yeah, it was depressing. We're in North Branch. This is where I lived from like 2004 until 2013. Used to go get dope in this park all the time. That house, man, I lost my mind in that place. That was where I was at the first time I decided to go to treatment. Ended up, you know, back at the bars. It wasn't too long before I relapsed again. I was drinking so much that they all gave up on me. These people all gave up on me. You know, I was done. I ended up moving to Coon Rapids to my mom's at 33 years old. And that's a pill of humility to take in. I was working and I had met a girl. We finally went out. I ended up using for the first time in almost 8 years using meth with her. It grabbed me by the balls right away. I didn't stop, and it was maybe a week before I was snorting lines. Obviously back to the needle. Started selling for the cartel.
I know the last time he lived with me and he had the spare bedroom here, and there was a lot of traffic coming in and out of this house. And I didn't know what he was doing.
Ended up getting set up by one of my best customers. And I got arrested. I got arrested with a lot of stuff. I had like almost 3 ounces of meth on me. I thought for sure I was gonna rot in jail. I didn't think I'd see another day. They signed me out after a couple days because they must have wanted to watch me. That was when I ended up having that psychosis at my mom's house. And I shot up like a teener, and within 10 minutes of itself, and I lost my mind. I was in a meth-induced psychosis for like 16 hours. This was like my own tailor-made version of hell. It was terrifying, man. I was going from window to window to window to window, and I was right on, like on my knees, dude, and I was like holding this big knife. And I was probably like this for 45 minutes, thinking about it, crying and wailing. I just kept saying, help me, help me. And I meant, help me do this, you know, help me kill myself. And instead, I ended up putting down the knife and picking up the phone and calling my old sponsor. Looking back, I see it as like God's providence. That was my first moment of feeling the healing power of honesty. You know, obviously I had a long way to go in my journey after that, but it was definitely an awakening for me of sorts. I'm stubborn ass. I spent 36 years thinking I could figure this shit out and that I could still have my cake and eat it too, you know? Like I could still dabble, I could still party, I could still like enjoy in that kind of lifestyle, but you know, control it. And no, I couldn't, I can't. I'm not that guy. I'm an addict, I'm an alcoholic. Knowing that, like I always tell people, the best thing, the most important thing I ever learned in recovery was that I don't know shit. It sounds like it was an oxymoron or something, but it's so true, man, so true. And the 12 steps and 12 principles, they worked wonderfully for me for a long time. And then it just kind of so happened that I was at Grace that one day and I came to Christ, and it was just like, it washed over me, bro. I stay involved in the community of recovery for sure. That's an important piece for me. You know, being able to be blessed with the podcast has been an awesome part of my recovery as well.
All right, so I'm gonna give you a 5-4. Well, that's good.
The Way Out Podcast, episode 131.
Yeah.
What?
That's a lot.
It is a lot. This week we're talking sponsorship.
Like I always tell people who are coming in the rooms and they're like kind of on the fence about this sponsor thing, I'm like, dude, seriously, all you have to do is say, I don't know what to do. And do you know what to do? And then somebody goes, yeah, I know what to do. And then you let them show you what to do. It's pretty simple.
Well done.
Thanks, bro.
Yeah, come on. That was really good.
I love doing this. Saved my life, you know, doing this stuff. It's just in the beginning, it was somebody else being there for me. And now it's, I get the chance to be able to be there for others. One little step after the other leads up to big results. You know, you just gotta start somewhere, man. You don't know who you're talking to sometimes. But if we're open about what we've experienced in our lives and what helped us get through and overcome, then it gives other people permission to open up about their stories. And everybody's story matters. Everybody's story can help somebody.
Hey everyone, I'm Jason. This is my mother, Tammy. Okay, so, Mom, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God?
Yes.
Do you believe that he died on the cross for your sins, rose from the dead, and is living today?
Yes, I do.
Have you decided to follow Jesus and make him the leader of your life?
Yes, I have.
Based on your confession of faith, it is my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My mom, I think because of my recovery, and then, you know, my coming to Christ, she started coming to this church, and she has been not into church and not into God my whole life. So I really feel like it's just cool how God will use us, you know, like my recovery. She wanted to start coming here and being a part of this part of my life, the spiritual aspect of my life. And as a result, she makes this decision to get baptized. And I get to do it. I'm like, what?
So it's super cool.
Man, that was awesome. What?
I haven't really watched that in a while, and it's just weird. My mom just passed away recently, so to see that just really got me emotional.
I know it. I don't know what's still happening. Hold on. Can you still hear that, man?
What's that?
Can you still hear? Anybody else still hear that YouTube? Hold on. I'm coming back. YouTube's still playing. I don't stop it. Oh, I don't know how to stop it. Oh, my gosh. Man. So, I saw you, bro, and, like, I started thinking, was this a great idea, you know, like, to do with you? Like, I know that it was pretty, it's pretty recent to see your mom, but, man, I want to tell you something. When I saw that, last night when we were getting your links, and just seeing your mom and getting to know you and to see your mom in that capacity in that video, man, like, it just brought it all home for me, you know, even more that this is what you're going through and that you shared that video link with me.
Yeah.
And it was just amazing. It was just amazing.
Oh, man, no, I think it was totally a good idea. I love watching that thing. It's been a really long time since I've watched it. And it for me, because it's been a while. I mean, what did he say? It was like episode 131 or something.
Yeah.
We were recording during that. And now we got 319 episodes. You know, we release one a week. And I've been doing the show for over 4 years.
Wow.
With Charles. That's Charles. He's the creator of the Way Out podcast. Really dear friend of mine. I love that guy. And, you know, it's just been a blessing this whole journey. You know, that house, I moved out of that house over 3 years ago.
Wow.
And so it's kind of just like a trip down memory lane. Definitely. And even obviously the stories just makes me think seeing some of those locations, you know, to you guys, it's like, whatever, it's a building, but holy shit, like the floods of memories that come
right
back to me, seeing some of those buildings. It's crazy.
I can only imagine, man, you know, taking that walk and being able to hear your story with different time passes, you know, because like you grow throughout this whole recovery journey, you know, like just reading things, like when I read journals of my own from early recovery, sometimes it just blows my mind how much different life is and stuff. And so, you know, I thought that was just really neat and what kind of experience it was for you. I mean, just to be able to go through that. You know, like, what does all that even bring up? Like, what, I guess what I'm asking is, has your growth been kind of subtle, or have you had those really big moments of growth from, say, that time until now?
I don't know. I mean, I guess I would say in the beginning, they seemed like burning bush moments, you know, that
I like that
I had the opportunity to experience, and you know, just like it was like, but you know, the last 3-4 years, I think it's been more of a gradual, you know, like finally finding myself in a position where I stepped out of my comfort zone and quit doing what I was doing for work, and you know, like getting into an actually lucrative like career, and you know, being a union member and fixing my credit, that's taken a long time. You know, like, and I'm right now, I'm like, I have good credit, you know, like, holy shit, dude, I didn't know I could do that. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's a slow process, everything, you know. In my current relationship with my girlfriend, it's like really awesome to not go straight to the defense mode when things happen, or
big
if I'm you know, it, or her for that matter, you know, maybe being insecure or being a little distant, like, and the other one will bring it up and then we can talk about it. We can recognize it for what it is. We can be honest with ourselves and we can make that choice to, you know, start trying to do something different, right? And like fix it and like work at it. And it's like the first healthy relationship I've been in my life, you know?
Wow.
So it's like all these things are like the result of the work, you know, that I've done on myself. And I'm sure that my level of service work and the amazing opportunities that I've had a part of, you know, like as far as with ministry, with recovery circles, you know, it's all contributed as well. You know, I've learned so much from all of those like exchanges I've had with people over the years. And, you know, no matter how big or small, I always learn from people, you know, whether I'm helping them or they're helping me. So it's all contributed to that growth that's put me in a position where I can now navigate life. I can, you know, deal with my employees better. I can deal with my family better. I can deal with my relationship better, with the kids better. Everything's getting better. And I have no doubt in my mind that, you know, I was like, continue on the path, keep living this way. It's going to keep getting better, you know? Not that it's going to be perfect, but you know what I mean?
That's humanity, man. Well, it really seems like to me, just listening to you talk about that thing that you talked about in the documentary about learning that you don't know shit.
Yeah.
Has been like still a very common foundation in your life, in your world, because knowing that you don't know anything is the only way to open yourself up to learn from other people. Like, right. You know,
Sponge. I've been like that, and thank God it hasn't gone away. And the same thing when I found Christ, that was unexpected. I went for coffee and donuts and I ended up getting nut punched by God. You know, that's what I always say. He grabbed me, dude. That was nuts. And I remember I was like hyperventilating after the service that day. And I was looking at this dude, Jim, and I'm like, what is going on with me? You know, and I was like, I don't know what's happening. Why can't I stop crying? And he just put his hand on my shoulder and he was like, that's the Holy Spirit, brother. And I don't know why, but I believed him. You know what I mean? Are you still trying to get that audio?
I've got it. I'm good. Taking this off. I don't know what that's connected to, but I'm listening to you, man.
You fixed it.
I fixed it. So I did something. I don't know what it is, man. But I'm like trying to listen to you, and Vishen is Mind Valley is playing in my ear, so I'm listening to you.
Yeah, it's very distracting.
It can be. Like, I don't even know. I can't figure out even what's happening right now. Oh, my gosh.
There it is again.
There, now you can hear it, right?
Yeah.
All right, let me turn this back on. Let Vishen talk in the ear, and we'll talk together. You got to love live, man.
Vishen?
That's his name.
Okay.
Vishen.
Is he like a speaker?
He is the actual owner of Mind Valley Academy. So, why is he not? Now we all hear it. Like, hold on a minute. This is the greatest thing. I need a Brett.
Yes.
I need a Brett.
Oh, okay. Is it within StreamYard?
I have no idea. So I shared the YouTube screen through here, but it's closed out on my computer, but it's still playing. So, and it's like completely closed out. So I sent my wife a text just a second ago. I was like, hey, are you outside listening to YouTube by chance? Have my ear things connected to your stuff? It's crazy, man. Who knows?
Man, that could be.
I know. So like it might be connected somewhere, or this is just crazy. But we got it fixed. Vashin's talking in these. We're talking to each other. It's live TV, man. You gotta love it. You gotta love it.
Yeah, I like it when it's all off the cuff, man.
Organic, man. For real. Exactly. It's organic. Well, that's one of the things.
A level of authenticity to it. Like,
it always has to. That's why
we're just here, man. We're showing.
Well, that's what I loved about doing starting to do live stuff on Facebook. Like, I had never done anything like that, man. And when I started, I look back over it. Task Manager, Chip. I could never get to the Task Manager, Chip. I love Chip's a computer guy, and he's like, close the process in the Task Manager. That's like a foreign language to me, Task Manager. I don't know if I'd ever get back to you. Never. but that was one of the things I thought that was so neat about, you know, like doing stuff like this, is that we were a recovery community that was coming out and talking to other people in community about, you know, stuff that was real, and it was real life, and it was really happening, and it was just, you know, and I love that about Recovery Revolution Live. Still, it's, you know, like this conversation between four people and everyone who's watching, you know. And so, but I do want to go back and talk about some things, like, you know, that spiritual moment in recovery seems to be a really big moment. I know it was really big for me. I can completely identify with you saying that, you know, you completely got gut punched by, you know, by God, and you know, I am where I am today because I asked to know God, you know, I asked that question several times, and so that process has grown in so many, has grown so much bigger, you know. I feel like so much of what we learn about maybe when we're little, about, you know, what the world teaches more about religion versus God. And here we go. We're going to go into this. Religion teaches more about these processes versus God and what that really means to us and what that truly is. And it seemed like when I had grown as far as I could, being who I am within the confines of religion, is when I found God, which to me is everything, you know. Like, it was no longer this external I got to do this to get here kind of a place. But I really, when I asked the question to know God, I began to start looking at God in everything and in everyone. And that was a real big, it's been a great foundation for me in my recovery to keep growing in that. And I'm interested in that with you, because that seems to be a big turning point for a lot of people.
Yeah, man. I mean, I think I was doing pretty good, you know, in my recovery up before that point, and everything was, you know, I guess I was like already starting to experience some spirituality. But when I went to church that one day, it was like, it was game changing. And it kind of lifted me out of a dark spot, because I was at treatment. There's an echo going on. I can hear myself.
Now you hear an echo? I don't hear an echo.
It's me. Like, I can hear me echoing. But anyway, so I'm in treatment, extended care, and every weekend, you know, people were getting on pass, and it was still at a point where I hit, because I burned like so many bridges. Nobody was calling, nobody was visiting, I didn't have nowhere to go. Nobody wanted to come see me or me to come see them. You know, I didn't have any money, stuff like that. So I was just sitting at the apartment building, and everybody else was on pass. And Sundays were like super depressing. So yeah, I was like, can I go with you guys next week? And that's when it happened, man. This dude's talking about fatherhood, and I got two kids I ain't seen since they were 1 and 3, and they were like at the time 18 and 20.
Wow.
So it really got to a deep place in me where I was very moved, and I was disturbed. But it kind of, some of the stuff he said made me for the first time feel kind of grateful that maybe that I wasn't around. Like I could have damaged kids. And I don't know, man. I knew that I couldn't contend with that. I could never forgive myself. And like, I wanted to kill myself over that for many years. So this liquid love, you know, like, washed over me and told me that I was forgiven, and I believed it for the first time, and I felt it. I felt forgiven, and I just broke down, dude, and cried and cried. And then I became like a sponge for that stuff. I wanted to learn about God. I wanted to get to know God. You know, that was the first time that I ever like invited Jesus into my heart and in my life. And to, you know, to do his work in me or whatever. And it wasn't long after that that I got baptized, and then I ended up becoming a Stephen minister. It's one-on-one Christian care, you know. It's basically just like peer recovery coaching.
Yeah, gotcha.
Or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like CPRS, certified peer recovery specialist, but with a faith element. And he's... it's just awesome. We started a recovery ministry at the church, and it's, I've been blessed to be able to be part of a lot of cool things like that, you know?
Seems like when the door to your heart opens up, you know, I because of your story and because of what I, you know, watched in that documentary, I had entitled this episode From Pain to Purpose. And I myself have experienced how much, you know, coming to a place, especially out of the gutter of self-hatred, the gutter of, you know, because it's not even so much just the addiction that helps you get there. It's just the shame and the guilt that you feel about, you know, life and pain and all of that. And, you know, coming out of that gutter of self-hatred to a place where all of a sudden you feel like you have a purpose or a mission in life was so many times many that got me through a day when I just wanted to, you know, throw my hands up and say, forget it. You know, like I'm sick of fighting this, or I'm sick of doing this, or, you know, I just want to relax today. You know, like I don't want to have this big spiritual battle today. But opening that, you know, when we open our heart to something different, and I always call it, when we're in that place of self-hatred is when we're living as we are the body and not, you know, a spiritual being having a human experience, but we're living in that place before we know that there's a bigger spiritual part to us. So we're just living in the body, and whatever the emotions come is how we roll, you know, like we don't realize we have any type of control or anything. It's just react, 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 react. Life hands it to me, and I gotta live it. So, you know, getting to that place of purpose, you know, it just does seem like doors just start opening up. Like you open the door to your heart, and doors begin to open up. And regardless of whatever way a person finds that for themselves, you know, and I think that's the beauty of having conversations like this. You know, like I'm grateful for a day that when we can talk about different avenues of spiritual awakening to, you know, whatever that process is for each one of us, that we can sit and have a conversation and relate to each other on what the deeper meaning is that, you know, you know, there's more to us than just the being defined by our past. And, you know, so I think those are some of the coolest things. And I wonder if you ever had any of those moments when you were first kind of making that spiritual transition of the days that purpose that you felt brought you through the pain. Were there days like that for you?
Yeah. First, though, you should put your headphones back on.
Why? I can't. He's still talking in here.
He is, really?
Yes.
Then just mute yourself when I'm talking.
Okay, how do I do that? Oh, okay. Hold on. Let me do that. I need to find the task manager that he's talking about. Okay. So when you're talking, I'm going to mute. Okay, so you talk and I'm going to mute. Y'all tell us if this makes it better.
Oh, it will. Yep, see, boom, it cut right off. All right, so I definitely experienced that. I experienced that a lot in 12-step rooms. You know, simple things. Like I'd see somebody looking, you know, depressed or down over in the corner, you know, never seen them before. Anybody that I never seen before, I kind of started to pride myself on that. I'd be that guy that would go up and be like, "Hey, how's it going? Glad you're here. You know, what's your name? I'm Jason." And, you know, start asking them questions about themselves. Boy, even something as simple as that just would, I could see it, the effect it had on them. And then I would feel it in my heart. Like it just made, you know, I felt like in the early days, like the on the Grinch That Stole Christmas, when his heart grows more sizes and more sizes. Yeah, dude, I was like, this is so cool. Like, I always knew, and for years I used to say, like, I wish that I could, like, be aloof. I wish that I could not care so much. Like, because obviously the more you care, the more it hurts, right? And it, like, I always knew I had a really big heart, and it was kind of a part of myself that I hated. I hated being sensitive. I hated being so in tune with my surroundings and, you know, social cues, like what's going on with other people, and caring so much about what, you know, is happening with other people. And dude, now it's like, I really am grateful. I'm really grateful, but I'm also very grateful that my heart has become bigger, more responsive. And you know what? Let's be real. I'm grateful that I didn't, like, permanently, irreparably damage my brain and my heart or my body in my using, because I know a lot of people that didn't make it out of that. Okay. They crossed their wires somewhere and they're really off the rails, kind of goofy now, or, you know, or they're dead or they're in prison. So, and that could have easily been me. I for a long time thought that I was FUBAR, you know, completely fucked up beyond all recognition. So nope, we have neuroplasticity, you know, one trait every human being has that is a innate ability is resilience. Like, we're all resilient creatures and we can bounce back from some crazy shit. So, you know, anybody out there that doesn't think that they can get, you know, clean or that they can, like, become all right, mind, body, and soul. Like, I mean, if you apply yourself, you'd be surprised, because it's built into our DNA to be able to bounce back, you know, like, and to be able to heal. It's just true. It's science, you know. It's, and get, thank God for that.
Without a doubt, man. And I think it was learning those things that helped me so much, because I felt the same way. I thought, oh my gosh, I've done so much to myself. I'm never going to be all right. You know, developing, you know, adult onset epilepsy from too many overdoses and wow, too much, you know, like speedballs. And it just, I just thought that I'll never be the same. I'm never going to be able to do anything with my life. And just being able to, you know, regenerate the brain and learning about, you know, neuroplasticity, which was stuff that I didn't learn about back, you know, years ago in recovery. We weren't talking about that stuff. So I'm super grateful that we're talking about it now. So grateful that we're talking about it now. And you know, your mom said that in the documentary, that you are a connector, you know, that you connect to people and people are drawn to you. And so, you know, that feeling within your heart is that connection to that whole purpose. And, you know, I'm grateful that you still allow yourself to be in that space, because I know what it's like to hate yourself, or hate that sensitivity, hate your heart, hate to have to feel about those things. But I'm grateful that you're still allowing yourself to feel that and do that and be that guy. That's amazing.
I thrive off of it now, and I need it. You know, I think I said it in the video too, that this stuff saved my life, you know? And believe me, when I stop, because I've had periods where I kind of stopped going to meetings for a little while, or, you know, stopped praying, stopped working on my relationship with God. And when I do those things and I stop doing those things, I should say, I can feel it. I can feel it big time. So it's clear to me that these are things that work for me, and I need to stay connected. And, you know, what else is funny is when you're having a problem, right, and you can't seem to look past the problem, like I always preach about being solution focused, but, you know, sometimes you get stuck into it where you're like in the trap and you can't get your mind off of the problem. Guess what is always like a fail safe? It never ceases to amaze me. If I go help somebody else, I forget what the hell my problem was. You know what I mean? It just takes me out of myself. And therefore, finally, that shit can leave my mind, or like stop. I can stop obsessing about it. And oftentimes, you know, it'll flip my perspective. So Kelly asked, what's the documentary called and where can I see it? He could post the YouTube link for you.
I will, in fact.
It's on YouTube, but it's weird when you search it. It's like I have to type in like Across the Tracks doc Jason Rudine, and it usually pops up. But there's you'd be surprised how many videos there are on YouTube that are called Across the Tracks. So you get lost in a fucking rabbit hole trying to find it.
That's true. In fact, keep talking to us right now, because I'm going to go ahead and look it back up right here, and I'm going to copy the link. Because it was, I typed it in because it was, you sent it to me on Instagram. And so I'm on my computer. So I went through and I typed it in, and it's like at the bottom. There's actually a couple of documentaries that are called Across the Tracks, but it's at the bottom. So I'm going to find it now. So keep talking, Jason. I'm going to find it now. I can't believe I'm going to try to do something like this when I've got so much mess going on. I told y'all I need a Brett. So, if anybody out there can do what Brett does, I need you.
Brett. You'll find, if you need one for real, God will put one in you.
That's exactly what I know. Because, you know, I thought for so long that I needed somebody to help me with my digitals. Like that, I used to believe that was what was holding me back on doing different things. And all of a sudden, COVID hit, and I had to learn how to do it myself. And nothing was ever coming. And I was like, well, you're not sending me anybody to, you know, to help me out. So I just learned how to do it myself. And so it's been...
Dude, that...
pretty amazing.
Whatever monologue or the intro video that you played was kick-ass, dude.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Well, I worked on that, you know, because I had to stop waiting on somebody to come and be, you know, save me, I guess. You know, and I had gotten involved with some people that were not there for my highest and best good. They turned out to be there for their highest and best good. And in that moment, it was, I got myself into a bad situation with some bad people, and I just decided that, you know, I got to do this myself. So there is the link, everyone. And it's going up. But I did, you know, because when I'm wanting somebody else to come in and do something for me, you know, you're right. What you said is so right. We sometimes think we always need somebody else because we don't trust ourselves. Or we don't know, you know, I didn't believe in myself. I thought I was too dumb. I thought I was too, you know, gone to try to figure it out. And yet, you know, it just kept getting easier and easier. And it became like this thing that was like this creation for me. Like, it was like art. So I love doing it, you know. And now I just can't stop doing it. I want to do it for everybody. I'm like, oh, you got a podcast? I got a book. You know, I'll make you this. I want to make you this. Just because, you know, because it's fun. But that was a gift. That was certainly a gift. For real.
Yeah, well, you did a really good job on it.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate
that. I was like, damn, I want to like maybe get that snippet because that shit was dope with like my side by side.
Yeah.
And the facts you did and shit. That
I had to take that from YouTube because I couldn't find, because when I had all of you guys on the show, Brett sent me everybody's picture and bio, and for some reason I couldn't find it. So I was like, where am I going to get a picture of Jason? Quick, where am I going to get a picture? So I went and I took it.
Why didn't you just ask me? But that's a good one. I love that one.
I was at work, man, and I was trying to get my stuff, and I was trying to get it all together, and I was on my lunch break, and I was like, man, it'll take me too long. I want to get this done. So I just went and snatched it from somewhere. I don't even remember where I got it. Edited. Oh, I got it from YouTube, bro. YouTube.
It turned out sick, dude.
Well, I'm glad. I will definitely send it to you. It's funny. It's love funny, it. Man. I can't believe all this is happening to us tonight. It's got to be for some reason. We got echoes. He's still talking in my earphones. I can hear him. I've looked up where's the task manager. Like, this is how goofy I feel on the computer. I'm looking up on my iPhone, where's the task manager? And it tells me to push these three buttons, and I'm so scared to push them, I'm going to lose you.
You don't want to, like, end the live stream.
I know, so I can take care of this job.
Dude, were you watching Recovery Revolution Live the one night when I fucking ended? I clicked. I was going to leave the recording early. And so I thought I was like exiting myself out, but I stopped the broadcast, and that shit was so funny, dude. And they were giving me such a hard time, and I was mortified. I felt super bad. And then they were just laughing at me, and they're like, just chill, bro. Control alt delete, Brett says. Now you're muted, see?
Now I'm trying not to get the echo. See what's happening? I went out like I had a guest on, Max Nast. I had him on, and I completely just somehow just closed myself out of the live, and he was just stuck there talking to, you know, and I could never get back into the room. So he had to finish out the whole show by himself.
Wow.
It was bad.
What a trooper, though. Most bad. People would have been like, I guess we're done.
I know. He was great. Because here I was watching him on my phone, like trying to, in the chat, go, I was kicked out. I'm gone. He was like, well, I guess LC's gone. And, oh, it was great. It was just great. You got to love this stuff, man. Who else can do this but us? I mean, if you can't laugh at yourself,
right.
Life's too serious, man. Too serious.
And if you're not humble, just do this, and then you get humble real quick. It'll knock you down a peg or two. Right. Right. You'll be like, God, I suck. But then people are like, oh, I love you. And I'm like, what? Maybe I'll do it again next week.
I know. That's exactly how it feels.
Well, you know, you're talking about that humility thing, dude. And it's like, if anything that I do now, when I first started doing it or said yes, I didn't think that I would qualify for that shit.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah.
I just knew that if it could help me and it could help somebody else, then I need to say yes. Like, my sponsor taught me that early on. You know, like, you don't turn down a good, like, if it's within your power to do it, you don't turn down a service opportunity. You know, if somebody's asking you to speak or somebody's asking you to, you know, for help, whatever. Just you show up for people, man. Whether it's convenient or not, that's what service is, you know. That means it's going to not be convenient sometimes. And, you know, or even going to meetings. It's like sometimes when you don't want to do it and you do it anyway, those are the best times. Those are the times where you're just like so uplifted after. And yeah. You're just like moved.
Yeah. That's for sure. That's the thing, man. That's the one thing that I love about this recovery life and doing all of this stuff is there's no lack of service. There's no lack of things that you can get involved with, and to come out of a place where you came from the worst space in your life, like a place where like you were in that holding that knife, you know, asking for help to end it all. you know, to be in that place. And then to be able to be in a space where that's the very moments that you can use to minister to another life. Because there's somebody sitting there right now contemplating not being able to go on in which the place that they are. And we know this because we have far too high suicide rates in our country, in our world right now. You know, people are truly struggling. And maybe they're not struggling with substance use, you know, or active addiction, but they are struggling with just how to move past, you know, the hardest point in their life. And that's why I believe that the recovery community, like, we are the change. We have a grasp on what it means to get over yourself, to heal your internal traumas and your pain, you know, because there's always that moment, you know, when I came into recovery, it was because I had this moment where I got to think differently. Like, my mind is the biggest problem that I have, because it was just prophesying over me, you know, through the emotions I was feeling, you know, the guilt and the shame and the all those things, and replaying it. And to learn that I could change my mind, that I had the control to change my mindset in that moment. And it was going to take some work, and it still is always taking work, but that it's possible, you know, that's a gift. And we often, you know, I'm working on being in recovery for 10 years. And sometimes I don't still relate as much as I used to that very new recovery time. But, you know, to just be able to talk with someone else and hear where they are and let it, remind me to bring me back, you know, it's an amazing, it's just like, it's almost like, do we really get to do this? Like, is this really my life? You know, like I'd have never put all these pieces together, but I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. Nowhere.
No. No, it's a blessing for sure. Even it's messy. Yeah. But you got to embrace the mess, and that's part of it, you know, learning to realize that life is messy, and you got to embrace that mess and be okay through the journey.
Mm. Yeah, that's amazing,
it's,
man.
It's really important. It is. Just to live life on life's terms, you know, it's not always pretty.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's not, man. There's not a time that, I don't think there's, you know, much that we, you know, go through in these times that are the most spectacular things seem to be the things that challenge us the most. The things that help us grow are the ones that challenge us the most. And as a nation, as a world, as a collective humanity, we're going through so many different things, through, you know, COVID, where we were all sat down, you know, together, to this time of where a lot of old systems that can't move on with us as we move into a higher space, they can't move on with us, and they're being broken down, and we see a lot of fighting, and we see a lot of, you know, distortion, and we see a lot of things, you know, between people that I think that the recovery community, if we get out of ego, you know, because any of us, like I was reading a post on Instagram right before, and it was about racism in the recovery community. And I think to myself, is this still happening? Like, you know, we are a recovery community. There's not one of us that has not shamed ourselves, you know, in places just to get and achieve and to have what it is that our brain felt like we needed, our bodies needed. Like, we have no stance to be in judgment of anyone else's, like, path to happiness and healing, whether it's, you know, and I go through it, you know, being openly transgendered, I go through it, and, you know, it's like, what are we doing? But I think when we get in those places where we're ready to ignorantly or negatively judge another human being, whether it be race or religion or whatever their mode of healing and recovery, then we automatically have to look in the mirror and ask ourselves, you know, what's my purpose here? You know, what's my point here? Like, I'm in ego right now. Why? There's something to be healed there.
I think that you raise a good point, because when you're looking at that self-centered perspective, then it's like all polarized thinking. God, you should mute yourself. It's just so distracted. If you're in self, then your thinking is always polarized. It's all or nothing thinking. So either I'm like a fucking loser and a piece of shit and I want to kill myself, or, you know, I think I'm fixed and I'm all better now, and now I'm better than this guy or, you know, that person. And yeah, it's a trap either way you look at it, you know. But when you're getting out of self and you just like try to learn about other people and you know, try to adopt that like spirit of a student instead of thinking that you know everything all the time, your ears are open, your heart's open, and you're like open to receive what, you know, the universe has for you. It's a completely different thing. You know, Pamela mentioned, you know, that people that are recovering out loud are teaching the world a new perspective. And I think about, you know, like to your point, when you're talking about healing, it's like, oftentimes it's just a matter. It is really that simple, where you have to like get your head out of the problems and just shift your focus, you know, change your perspective to solutions. Or, you know, so like asking people for help is great and it's hard. Yeah. And it's great to do it, but it means fuck all if you don't follow the suggestions and try to like listen to what they're doing, you know, do what they tell you to do. That's where the growth happens, right? Like, it's not enough to just ask for help if you're not going to listen, you know. But then it's being able to discern who has no ulterior motives, who has my best interests at heart, who do I see who's, you know, they're not just waxing poetic, you know, and, you know, spewing golden silk out of their mouth, but their actions reflect the same stuff that they talk about. You know, like, how many people have you met in recovery that you're like, damn, you know, it kind of blew your mind. It's, they're a talented speaker, but you hang out and maybe they're not living like that. You know, maybe you're like, wow, it's kind of fucked up. You know, you gotta be honest with yourself and the world around you. You know, have a perspective of reality instead of, you know, whether it's the rose colored glasses or it's the fucking extra dark tinted glasses. Like, don't look at me. I'm going to hide under my hood. And like, you know, I got a black cloud that follows me. Whatever your perspective is your reality. So it's good to start to feed your mind, body and soul with positive things. You know, surround yourself with positive people who really have your best interest at heart, and they're not trying to get anything out of you. They just want to see you win. They want to see you do better. You know, it makes a world of difference. It all starts somewhere. And I think it's where you put that focus, where you put that, shift your perspective to things that are serving you well, not things that are just perpetuating the problem or making it worse.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what we talked about last week when we're talking about identity, and, you know, how we tend to focus and adopt these identities. You know, like my identity was the addict. I'm abused, confused, you know, I'm the addict. And of course, that's the same stuff that just continuously happened to me, because that was my perspective. And our perspective is how we see our world and what we see our world through. It's the filter. So, you know, that's an amazing place for us to leave people with, I guess. You know, you change your thoughts, man, you change your world. You change your thoughts, you change your perspective. And when you change your perspective, that is what really truly changes your world. It's something called your reticular activating system. It's in your brain, and it's what helps you start to see the things that you focus on the most. You know, when you get a new car, all of a sudden you see that same car everywhere. And that's that process in the brain, and learning about those processes. you know, can really, really open you up to such amazing things when it comes to life, you know. So what you do put your focus on is what you're going to see more of. So if you're the average of the five people that you're around the most, well, then look around in that environment, then shows you back to yourself what your focus is on. So shift your focus, shift your life. Jason, man, I'm glad to know you, bro. I really am glad to know you. You're a great example of really just being an open human being and just being willing to, you know, get to know human beings and people. Because, you know, the way that I've lived my life, you know, there's been times that I maybe would have shied away from a guy like yourself. Like I was telling you, one of my best friends, you know, he has that same tough guy look. And I think that we rob ourselves of new human beings. And people do this with me all the time. And I think I couldn't understand this if I was not going through a gender transition. I couldn't understand this about people as, you know, when we judge immediately from the outside, when our survival skills like kick in and say, danger, 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 a lot of times we're robbing ourselves of some of the most amazing relationships. And I'm grateful that the process of healing, recovery, and even being transgendered has brought me to a place where, you know, that's not the way it is for me. And I'm so grateful for that because I have some amazing human beings in my life and you're one of them. And I'm grateful for you, man.
Grateful for you too. You know, it's, you inspire the shit out of me. I think about, even I can't fathom it. Like going through the things you've been through and walking the path that you've had to walk. And I can't imagine how difficult it's been. And so, and that's not even adding in the stuff with your personal life at home and stuff that we talked about before when we were on RRL. But I'm just like, wow, the heart you got is so big. And the fact that you can remain hopeful and positive, and not only that, you know, but then now you're trying to teach, you know, reach one and teach one too, is really amazing. It's outstanding. And I think you're just the shit. And I'm really grateful that we met. And, you know, to your point with me, I would have probably been nice to you and shit, you know, before, but before I did all this work, I mean, it's just funny because everything I've learned in recovery really laughed in the face of the way that I was brought up, laughed in the face of what I thought I knew. It really flipped a lot of things upside down on its head for me. And thank God that I ran the experiments. I tried the things that people told me to do. I listened to the things that people told me and I put them to the test. And I realized that, you know, what works now and what doesn't. And I learned what's real pride versus false pride. You know, what's the difference between like instant gratification, which wears off quickly and then you feel worse than you did before, or delayed gratification, which is like comfort food, you know, soul food, sticks to your ribs, right? It sticks with you. And learning all that stuff, man, and just that sponge thing, I can't think of any other way to describe it. It's like I take these things in, and if they're well for my soul, I'm just like, oh, yep. Now it's like a part of me, and I will not let it go, and I want more of that. So, I mean, to be able to, like, meet you now puts us in a position, at least for me, where I can really, like, pick your brain, and I can genuinely ask you about your life and learn things that maybe would make other people uncomfortable as hell if you told them. And you know, I can like take on your perspective and really like empathize with what you've gone through, even though I have no fucking clue how hard that must have been. You know what I mean? Like, and just see see the way that you're living your life and trying to teach people and just, you're such a sweet dude, man. Like, you're just a fucking sweet dude.
I appreciate you, Jason, man. I love you so much, and thank you for that, man. I really do appreciate it, because sometimes, you know, you question what you're doing sometimes. You know, when you're on the path and you know you're walking within your purpose, you sometimes question it. You know, you're never guaranteed that it's going to be an easy path, you know, made of gold and roses. It's going to be tough, but the toughness is what, you know, really just expands. And I think we've both made the same decision in our lives to, when something challenges us, to expand. And so I just love what you just said about, you know, taking something into your soul, and when it sticks, it sticks. And and that's so true. And I love
all. And I hope when you feel that, I hope when you feel that imposter syndrome coming on, that you can recognize what it is and tell it to shut the hell up, man, because your voice matters, your perspective, the things you have lived through and it continue to live through, bro, they are like, you're in such a unique position to be able to really reach certain people, you know. But then on top of that, you're like personable and likable and so genuine and authentic, and like, dude, you're just this likable, like lovable character. So it's a win-win for everybody. Anybody that stumbles across you, I think, you know, even if they didn't know, you know, like maybe they watched a few episodes and didn't realize, you know, everything about your life. You know, I think we talked about that before too, with like the guy you worked with or something. You know, like after they are exposed to enough of you, I would be shocked if they were like, nope. Like the, and I mean, I know there's people like that, you know, that would just shut you off, like, whatever. But no.
But you still do things, you still stick with them, you know? I think about everything that I ever, like all the times I tried to, you know, get clean and sober and relapsed and clean and sober, there were things that stuck with me through that. And like, even those people that will come into contact and say, nope, now I have to shut you completely out, there's still something that was touched in them. And whether it's me or some other person in the future that they'll come into contact with, you know, they'll have that peace with them, and maybe that'll be their person. And so thank you for saying all that, man. I you're such a genuine guy that I take that to complete heart, man. Like I take that into my soul, and I appreciate you.
And, well, you should, know, man, because I care a lot about you, and I really appreciate the time that we've been able to share space and really get real and raw about things and open book, you know, like ask me anything kind of shit. And those have been amazing conversations that I'm grateful that I was able to have.
Yeah, man, me too. Me too. Well, everybody, make sure if you're not already following Jason Rudine, then you get over to his, all of his stuff, which is right here, facebook.com, Jason Rudine, and you know you can find him with Recovery Revolution Live. So get with him there, and check out the Way Out podcast at www.wayoutcast.com. We're going to do an episode together tomorrow of the Way Out podcast, and I'm super excited.
Yeah, I get to share conversations.
I know, I get to share space with Jason Rudine 2 days in a row. This is like a gift. It will. It will. Everybody.
It's your audio shit.
Yeah, well, I'm going to figure this out. Like, as soon as I get done with this, I'm going to find the taskbar, and I'm going to push some buttons. So as soon as we're not live anymore, button pushing is commencing, bro. I'm taking care of it. I appreciate you so much, man. Everybody else, thank y'all for being with us. Even through all of this mess, y'all stayed around, and I hope you've been blessed tonight. Jason Rudine is a huge-hearted human being, and I'm so grateful to know him and get the opportunity to love him and all of you all. So listen, y'all make sure you have the most amazing week ever. Next week, we've got Mike from the Sober Press is going to come and talk to us about his mission and just share his amazing heart with us. So I'm looking super forward to that. Remember, the last episode of season 4 is coming up on the last Saturday of December. It's going to be a live question and answer session. So y'all start getting your questions. You can ask them for me personally. You can talk about recovery. Give me something that you're going through. Let's talk about it. Spiritual awakening, recovery. discovery, rediscovery. I don't care, you know, just bring it to me and let's talk about it. That's the last Saturday in December. And man, I love you. And I'm so grateful to know you and to be here with you and all of you too. Thanks for joining us. Until next week, we love you. We're out. See y'all soon.
Happy Thanksgiving.